Sono la più grande, ma la più specifica.
Right, of course not. Yeah. It's not you without me. Right, of course not. But your reconstruction goal. Yeah, right.
It's crazy. It's used in science. That was a self-marketing. I don't understand the rationale.
Okay, we should probably get started. Now one's trickled in at this time, which my brain is very sure is still 8 o'clock in the morning. So as you said on the email, the plan was that we have some slides to kind of generally talk through about the project landscape and the SCOMAS process in general for the working group leaders, and then to hear a general report. Slide with the agenda. So we can go and do a round table from, we have some from every group. Groups here. We had one piece of general news, which was we received comments back from the PAC, and the plan is that we'll have in the next LAC meeting, once the heads of the strategic planning and SAC have a chance to discuss, we have a more longer conversation about that. We just kind of wanted to give you what we received, which was generally everyone gave very nice talks, and what the PAC did suggest to the directorate is that it would be good for the SAC or this community planning exercise and the strategic planning workshops work closer together. So the strategic planning is when we produce this kind of next 10-year, very kind of more structured plan with specific goals. I'm not the best person to describe it, that we always put for the DOE every year. Whereas, you know, this community planning is looking on a longer time scale. But they commented there's a relatively large amount of overlap, so it would be good to, for us to talk together. I don't know if anyone else wants to add anything there, or the plan, as I said, we could have, we received this a couple of days ago, so we'll digest it and then come and think of how best for those two groups to work together.
So maybe it's a good time to introduce Erin. I don't know, yes. Probably most people know Erin, but yeah. So do you want to just say briefly something?
Sure. Well, so as part of this statement from the PAC, I'll start attending the SAC meetings more regularly. And what we do through my office is really provide a strategic planning framework that we use that's geared more towards how we communicate with DOE. But I'd say I'm available if individual working groups want to have a meeting, find out what sort of tools we provide out of my office. I'll be happy to explain that. And for now, I think I'm mainly here to learn and see what you're up to. But otherwise, I'll just offer to help where I can.
So what we didn't include in this talk, which would have probably been useful, is the people within each division who was working on the strategic planning effort. We do have multiple people in this room who are strongly connected with it, but there isn't, you know, there's probably, 30 or 40% overlap between these working group chairs and people involved in that effort, but it's not 100%. So we can send around that information as well, so you can know who in your area was very strongly involved in the strategic planning, and we can send around the slides and stuff from the workshop as well. Okay, other general news was, so we, certain subgroups have an email general listserv that people can sign up to communicate with, to send out information to their groups, and certain people don't seem to do this. So there had been a request that we collect these listservs, and then we can send a general request out to all scientists saying, are you interested in precision science? Sign up to something. But it came back that this didn't seem to be that everyone has a consistent way of communicating with each other. If, you know, generally we think this is a good idea, that if, you know, you can have a listserv which is somewhat open, and anyone who's interested in your effort can sign up to that and get information about your meetings. And there is some advantage of that instead of sending them out into just departmental emails, that people who are non-Fermi Lab can also sign up to those effort if you want them included, which is something that we have discussed. So there are some groups that we still need to follow up with. If you do have a listserv, it's not listed here, because we haven't heard back from you. If not, we'll need to follow up with these last couple of groups today, and we'll try and get that out. And then let us know if you have any objections to what our plan is, we'll send this out to all scientists saying, you know, sign up to whichever listserv you want to be involved in that community planning effort for.
Hi, Louise. This is Brendan. Precision Science has one, and I sent you guys the link and put it in the document.
Yeah. I'm projecting, so I actually can see your emails coming past with that information as I receive this. Everyone else in the room could too. It's a good thing it's just you who's emailing me right now. But thank you. Thanks, Brendan. Okay. Other information that we had in this thing was just that we have this kind of, we're trying to just try to disseminate a bit of information to you guys, which we thought would be useful for the effort. And there's more, there's some of this that came around in my email and some additional links here, which we think would be useful to you, specifically summaries from the last retreats. So we gave talks the last PAC meeting, which is the best of summary for 2018. 2017 was a report. There's additional talks by Dimitri and Bob, who are very useful for this, one about the swimmers process in general, one about Bob, about the project landscape, which is obviously important because you need to understand where things already exist, because we need to think whether when we will understand where there will be large amounts of flexibility for things in the future, as well as the European strategy, you know, which is, you know, it's the European strategy process, which is similar but a little bit different to SNOMAS, is ahead of us. So it has accepted, you know, at this point it's accepted white papers, and they have groups of people who are going through that information and going to present it at a talk, which is in May, and kind of collecting the kind of community viewpoint at the moment. So the rest of this had is we just have a few slides which we've stolen from other people, which kind of just talk a little bit about the overall process. People who are less familiar, I think a lot of people are aware of this. This slide is from Dimitri. We talked just a little bit about SNOMAS and P5, which we often use interchangeably, though there is a subtle difference between the two. So this has been going on for a while, right? That the idea that we'd all get together and have a large community planning effort. And it used to be at SNOMAS, the skiing resort, which is why it's called SNOMAS. But it stopped being that. So when it was at the beginning, it was a long effort. I don't know if I played, the field was smaller, maybe a little bit smaller. But everyone got together for a long period of time, stayed there for 3 weeks in SNOMAS, and really worked on this. The main effort was there at that time. And then as things progressed, we got to where we are now, where you don't just sit in a room for 3 weeks with your colleagues and plan the future. You have this longer strategy that happens running up to that process, where we all have these pre-meetings, these discussions, where the whole community tries to, beforehand, work out what they want, write white papers, and then come together for a smaller thing at the end. This is what this says. You know, a couple of days of plenaries, 2 weeks of actual work, and then summaries of results, which is what happened at the, you know, at the old SNOMAS, compared to what we do now, where it's a long period to work over years ahead of time, coming together for a more thing at the end, with a lot of workshops in between. It's organized by APS, DPF, Department of Particles and Fields. And then in the latest NOMAS, 2013, is when it changed. So then you have a process of about a short meeting, a year of short meetings, so this final meeting, and obviously not at SNOMAS, so we continue to call it that. And then since then, since 2003, we've had this SNOMAS followed by P5. So we often call them the same. So the P5 is the Particle Physics Project Prioritization Panel, IPs. And we often think of them as the same, use them interchangeably, but they're not completely, right? SNOMAS is the effort to get you to your report. And the idea is this is a 50-ish page report that exists, and we can send you the link to it if you want to go look at it. It's usparticlephysics.org is the easiest place to find it. And it goes through, and it is submitted to the funding agencies, so the DOE, Office of Science, and the NSF, the list of what us as particle physicists think are most important. And it was written, the way it was written, they had three different budget scenarios, a pessimistic, an optimistic, or a middling. And it wrote down, you know, what we wanted to do, what would we able to do in those three scenarios, you know, for the starting with the pessimistic, you know, these projects are the things we definitely want. They will happen in this time scale in order so we can make sure they don't overlap with each other. And then when you go to the standard or you go to the optimistic, you bring in additional projects and say, you know, find a pretty optimistic project landscape. You want to do A and B. And it kind of runs out this very well-defined path, which kind of goes forward. It's been very well received within the funding agencies and within Congress, this idea that both we were, you know, fiscally conservative, that we made a statement that we don't want to do everything, we want to do some things, and we've constrained ourselves to a budget, and that we're well organized, you know, what we want, so we're not just asking for the sky, we're asking for specific things. That's generally done, you know, very well received within DOE and NSF and within Congress, who is obviously important because they help with the purse. So obviously we want to do this again, right? The last P5 was in 2014. So we're getting to the point where we need another one because this, you know, this credit goes out all the way out to 2035. But it becomes, you know, more vague as you go towards the future. So in the time we want to do another one. So as I said, the current construction program is planned to be completed by 2026. And there's some additional slides on this in the backup. If you want to see exactly what's built when, which we spoke of before. So, you know, there are a lot of things which are happening at the moment, and we need a lot of work in order to enable those projects, right? So you need to understand what we want. So we have what we have currently, it's going to go to 2026. We need to enable to understand what we want to build in the future, and we want to make sure that any R&D that's needed for those efforts happens. So the moment we have various things which are already ongoing, but I mentioned the European strategy. Japan is making a plan about what it's going to put together, both the ILC and Hyper-K. They've put a lot of things going on in the last year or so. Hyper-K has become more likely. ILC maybe becomes something less likely. It's the kind of unclear exactly how that's going to come together. And then in China, there's their large collider, which they also will be making a decision on relatively soon. We have this kind of window where you need to have P5 in place in order to make sure that by the time you get to, you need to come start having the money for these new things, that everything is organized, that you have a report that's gone to the agencies. But you need to make sure that you don't step on your own toes, because if you have a report which is, I don't want to say contradictory, but there are some things which have changed from your current report, you need to make sure you have a clear statement to Congress what you want. There will be some overlap when you go to one report and the other, and you want to make sure that you're not hurting your funding, your current funding, by submitting a report for the future funding. So you kind of just need to make sure it gets submitted at the right time. So this brings us to the next P5 in around 2022, and we'll start working on it basically now. In the April APS meeting, which is actually in April this year, there is a plan to present a more clear timeline than this, which will say what the working groups are and their more detailed timescale of how this will come together.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that we don't know that ILC is less likely in Japan. We just don't know.
Yeah.
The decision is delayed. That's what we know.
That's what I meant for the less likely. There has been a lot of news there in the area. No one's quite sure. This Okay, so as I said, like we have this new format, as I said, for how we're going to come together the next P5, which means we need to work and have the work ahead of the meeting in order to work out what we want. So you need, you know, it's not something that we normally have time for, but it's something that as a community we need to make time for to actually have those informed decisions, have the R&D necessary for what we want. So one of the things that we were aiming for with this internal effort is that we take from what we have before, we've just kind of been generally discussing what we thought of interest and trying to coalesce at a point where there are specific projects that people are most interested in, and they can start to do the effort to make sure that we understand the needs in order to put those together, and we have the ability to do a strong case to the community that we think those are the most important projects. Whether or not there are projects at Fermilab or not at Fermilab, the point is that us in our subfield think that this is very important, and you'll be competing with both other subfields and other projects within your subfield. And if we think that this is the most important thing to do, we need to be able to explain to the community why we have that opinion. You need to understand what the business goals are, what the technical limitations are, and some cost and estimates that you're doing something which is both worthwhile and will cost something which is reasonable. And then, you know, this is a lot of work over a long period of time in order for these to come together. You know, for Snowmass coming around 2020, you want to go into Snowmass with a well-informed decision and a concept of what you want. And the better developed that concept could be, the stronger case that you can pop for the physics that we want. Is why we're trying to start this early, just to start us thinking about what we want, to start us thinking on this process, not that this is the physics I want to measure, but what will we actually need to do that? What R&D will we need to do that? Whether or not that's physical, you know, how we could start on this kind of long chain of getting to these kind of well-defined proposals on this, the entry point to Snowmass, not on the exit point, right? So we as a community, right, FamilyLab's a huge group of people, we want to come in with a strong place, and we want to make sure overall the community has these kind of active roots in it, so we can help drive things forward and have a great next, a well-deformed next plan for the next 10 years. And this bottom part of the slide says there's a lot of options which are going on right now. And a lot of uncertainties in the next few years, whether or not we consider which one of the, for example, for the accelerators, there's been multiple different things which have been discussed, whether or not this is the ILC, the large collider in China, the electron collider at CERN, when, we can't completely influence those decisions, but we can say which one would be the most useful for the physics that we want to get out of it. Okay, this is pretty much all of my slides. One thing, this plot is what we have here, is reflecting our appropriations to the money that we've got, which tells a relatively complicated story, but it tells an optimistic story. So the red line and the blue line are the two different funding scenarios from the P5 report. And I think that's the optimistic and the median. I'm not sure which one A, B, and C is, but I think that's the two we are. The purple dots represent what the president requested, which is why it so much fluctuates. And if someone remembers the 20% cut that we had in high energy physics funding, that's what this very low dot is. But that's the president's request is, the president, as they say, the Senate branch doesn't hold the purse, Congress holds the purse. So Congress is what the green line is, that is what is actually appropriated. The House and the Senate write bills separately for the DOE and the NSF, how much money will go to these energy physics. And specifically in case of the DOE, they say how much money will go to specific projects. So there's something like June and the LHC upgrades are line items in that report. And you can see that we have been very much beating our expectations. There's a strong statement in Congress of how well the P5 report has gone down. If you look historically, before the time of the P5, we had somewhat, I don't know if negative is the right word, but not positive statements about high energy physics, and we didn't know what we wanted, and we were getting a reduction in funding. And since 2014, we've been on this kind of steady increase with very positive language within the Congress about the fact that we know what we want, we're organized, and we are conservative in our requests. So it generally has very much helped us increase our funding. One of the other things that really broke this up is the increase in the June schedule while keeping our LHC equipment, which have kind of driven this green line higher than it would have been in other situations. This I am not going to go through, but it's here. It's very useful. I don't know if you can see that's a far too much detail on here. This is going back to the statement that we had earlier. In 2026, pretty much everything is already constricted, right? You can see these CD4s here on the slide, and they're all kind of coming together on this time scale. So this gives you in mind of exactly when we will start having kind of holes in different parts of the landscape, right? What's being built when, what will be finished when, because you obviously need to keep in mind when things will be finished before we can start building new large experiments. Where June is the last one so far on this, it's CD4 around 2000. That's all the slides. Okay, one last slide was just showed from the timescale of the 2017 SAC retreat, which shows the kind of timescale between the two.
It's for the Snowmouse.
Yeah, sorry. From the 2017 SAC report showing the timescale of the Snowmouse process, where they started in 2011 and they finished in 2014, which, you know, is kind of making the case that you may think 2022 is a long way away, but they already was ahead of where we are now in the process. Questions?
Yeah, comments.
Comments.
So I understand that what you call a snow mass is a community exercise as an input to P5.
Mm-hmm.
You stated that it's a DPF community exercise, which isn't exactly correct. It's not just a DPF community exercise, it's a DPF and DPB community exercise. The DPB has not yet agreed to participate in the snow mass exercise for the next, so it's a discussion that's going to happen maybe in April together with DPF leadership.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, in the previous snow mass, DPF has asked DPB for expertise in making sure that whatever particle physicists dream of can be actually built.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens to be that the future machines that you've listed on one of your slides, you know, we have not worked on.
Mm-hmm.
The DPB community has not worked on FCC at CERN. And we certainly have not participated in any, in any conceptual studies in China.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a huge disconnect between what the accelerator community in this country knows about FCC and Chinese proposals,
mm-hmm.
and what you think you can be doing in the next 30 years. I don't know how to reconcile this. We certainly need to reconcile it first here internally at Fermilab. For example, I can't see how we can state that we want to work on FCC if us accelerator people have not even looked at FCC yet. We don't know whether it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have not been part of it in any way. So I don't see how we can just say that, the particle physicists are going to go and work on FCC if accelerator people have never been there yet.
So, Sergey, I know we discussed this before and probably we'll discuss this in our Energy Frontier working groups, but, if you take FCCE, for example, Fermilab physicists did not participate, but the U.S. energy physics community, right? I mean, we can't tell the university physicists, you can't go and work on FCCEV if there is physics in it. We can say Fermilab people may not, work on FCC if they're not involved in the accelerator. So there is that difference that we have to make. Right?
Yes, at the time when LEP there were other things domestically here. You know, I'm sure that
right.
there was Slack. With B Factory and their collider. So, I mean, it was a different time. We are comparing now the upcoming snow mass process with what happened in 2013. And in 2013, the accelerator community came together with particle physics community and stated, we have this, what we think is doable, including the muon collider, including the ILC, and there was some discussion about VOHC, but ultimately those were the things we worked on nationally. We, you know, now suddenly we didn't work on FCC, we didn't work on any proposals from China. And how are we going to reconcile this? We need to look at this too. And tell and decide whether this is worth pursuing, for us.
So, can I ask another question? When you say DPB has not been involved, I mean, is it that DPB and DPF haven't thought talked about it, or you don't agree in the time scale? What is
we have not discussed it yet. The DPF and DPB has not discussed the snow mass yet.
Okay, thank you, that's very interesting. We can try and reach out to the DPF Executive Committee and ask and see if we can find out any more information there. You know, the process is supposed to be for all pioneer physicists, so we should have a coherent process. I don't think we're going to solve this now, but it's definitely a very important part of the conversation. Make sure the accelerator scientists are involved. And when you say the DPF, the community has not been involved, is that a strong statement that there is no American involvement in any of these projects? I mean, I'd assume that some of them had some, but I'm not aware.
You mean we were not? I mean, certainly.
When you say we, I guess who is we in this case? Is this
Fermilab has not been part of, for example, the Chinese proposal concept? You know, we are not in the water.
In this process, it's all American accelerated scientists, right? So when you say we, is this a Fermilab we, or is this for the wider community?
Okay, I don't know. I have not looked at the Chinese conceptual design report, but Fermilab is not part of the author list on the Chinese conceptual design report.
Yeah, so Fermilab is not.
Yes.
But there
I
are.
I don't know for the rest of the country and how, what, you know, it's possible that there are.
This is Chris. It would help. Could you clarify, is that because Fermilab scientists are not interested or because they've been unable to due to either funding or not having the time with everything else?
Well, we have not been funded to work on either CERN FCC or Chinese proposal concept.
So there are scientists that would be very interested in working on those. They just haven't been afforded that opportunity yet. That as well.
Yeah, there was interest. Of course, there is. There was plenty of interest to work on FCC, for example, with, you know, in various capacities, technology or accelerator science, or, you know. Yes.
Okay. Well, this is a bigger discussion.
Yes.
We're not going to solve this. Thank you for the comments. We should probably move on.
Yes, a little bit to get out of time. Did anyone actually make slides? I'm assuming not. Are there Austin Nani's?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't realize the page was not.
Yeah, it's not the paper.
I posted it. I don't know if anyone else wanted to see. I posted a lot of slides, and I believe I fixed the problem with the Indigo agenda, but if people still are trying to post to it, you can't, then just keep pulling up. So I just not.
I know I suddenly wanted me to log into it again.
Is anyone here from the Cosmic Frontier today? Well, I mean, who are working group leaders. Okay, so they were first, but it looks like we don't have an update. So we'll have to follow up offline. So then, energy listening.
Do you want me to just, I shared this.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, okay, so
I'm
going to So as Luis already mentioned, the Energy Frontier Group did continue to meet after the 2018 All Scientists Retreat. So we had roughly, let's say, a meeting per month, and we tried to review the progress on R&D and on the proposed machines, including the physics case, but that was not really our major focus. We were mainly focusing on technology. So for the 2019 retreat, we plan to review the machines that were proposed during the retreats in 2017 and 2018, so we don't plan to look outside, so following the recommendation last time, and we listed those in the next slide. We don't have to go through those. And the idea is that we would then prioritize the machines and the experiments in view of all the updated performance assessments, because indeed there was a major update on that side. So we, the major one, at least on our side, is the, of course, the set of submissions to the European strategies and all the conceptual design reports for the FCP and CPCS. So in preparation for the retreat, we plan to invite all Fermilab scientists and physicists and the local users to 4 prep meetings. So one would be on the overview of the process, so really discussing how we plan to proceed. We have already gone through the list of all the submissions of the European strategies, identified those that have to be reviewed, and we are talking about roughly 30 papers, but some of those are the actual CDRs, so 300 pages. and we plan to have that meeting by the end of March, so we have a plan. And then we go essentially to machines. So in the middle of April, we plan to discuss PP colliders, end of April, laptop colliders. And then we would submit to you then the list without the prioritization. So we have the list of machines. So we can go ahead with the survey, and then we will have a discussion on the actual priorities, including the feedback from the survey by June 14th. So that's our plan.
Great. Okay. If there's no comments, we can going round to next about this decision.
It's just I think that order.
Okay. We had our initial meeting between the 4 working group leaders, so along with Steve Price and Sam Zeller, to talk through sort of what our overall planning will be. We took from the last year's planning a list of sort of interests of neutrino-minded scientists here at the lab, and what we're going to do is fill out that, sort of using that as a seed list, fill out sort of a more exhaustive list, and then try to identify people within the SAC working group to sort of be, we want to say, custodians of that option, to then lay out sort of the pros and cons of both Fermilab involvement and then more broadly the impact on the community, and to work out, reach out to the technology groups, and then have a working, basically a meeting of the Neutrino SAC group, using that email list up there, to bring together all of the, the custodians, to present to all of the neutrino-minded scientists at the lab, to sort of feel out what the implications are, and then to use that to sort of group things into places where Fermilab involvement would have a large impact and where Fermilab scientists have a large interest, and then those where you would be on the lighter side. That would be before the deadline.
Have you looked at the things from the European strategy as well to make sure you're taking that into consideration? Because one thing that came out between the last retreat and now is sort of the white papers that were submitted to the European strategy, and they're all available online.
You mean specifically for basically the items through which we would have on our list of interests?
Yeah.
We will definitely use that to fill that.
So sorry, I was trying to capture that. So just roughly, your basic plan is you're assembling the list of interesting experiments and then discussing with potential.
And then, yes, identifying people to sort of spearhead the collating all of the pros and cons of Fermilab involvement and doing reach out to the technology groups along with us to understand the technical implications.
Okay, so you're going to sort of have sort of sub-working groups, I guess, small working groups before having sort of finishing the thing with a large group or discussing with the wider neutrino department.
Yes. I know we have, I guess we have both friends, we have Chris on the line.
Yeah, I can say a few words.
Yeah.
So first of all, we haven't done much, but we did have a short meeting with a few of the people who have been part of leading the precision science efforts to talk about exactly what we can do between now and SNOMAS that would be most useful. And, you know, in terms of efforts that are already underway, that are ballistic, that have proto-collaborations working on them, MUTE-E2 continues to be a strong proposal for the upcoming SNOMAS. The one that's been, we talked about a little bit, that's been worked out in a lot of detail over the years is the Red Top experiment. We're a little confused about how much to support and how much emphasis to put on that, given that it was rejected by the Fermilab PAC. So we could, you know, potentially use some guidance there about how much that should factor into this exercise. I think the more interesting part, though, of what we've talked about was, you know, really how do experiments get on the roadmap in the field? They don't usually get on the roadmap because they originate at Fermilab and precision science. It's probably the same in neutrino physics and other areas as well. They really get on the roadmap because a proto-collaboration forms and really does the work to flesh out an initial proposal. And so we thought what might be most useful for our area would be to try and identify the two or three efforts that might be worthwhile in terms of promoting the proto-collaboration to form and start getting some actual work done so that we might have something to useful say on that timescale. So the things that are out there that we think might be useful for us to try and stimulate a proto-collaboration into forming and working on it are things like the proton and muon EDM effort, the frozen spin technique that's been around for a while, Yannis Simritsidis' proposal for those of you who are familiar with it. That's still a very compelling physics case for the future, a challenging machine to build, and it's something we want to keep on the radar in 2026 and beyond. Beyond that, what we would really like to see is a compelling proposal that would be built at the end of the PIP2 beam line that could use more of the PIP2 beam in a pion source devoted to another muon precision physics program or even a pion precision physics program. So we're going to try to look around and figure out what the best candidate would be for that. And again, think about forming a proto-collaboration that's combined with Fermilab scientists who are interested and our university colleagues who are experts in that area. That's about all we've done. I think this week we'll send the email to the Precision Science Group with this idea that says, you know, do people have other ideas for proto-collaborations that we should be encouraging, and have a brainstorming session on that sometime in the next week or two. So that's where we're at.
Thanks, Chris. Sounds like things are coming together.
So I guess I would just comment briefly. So, I don't know very much about Red Top. I guess we were sent an email from one of the proponents asking about that as well for the SAC retreat. So maybe you know better the story, but my understanding was they were told by an earlier PAC that they should not continue at the time, but I thought part of the recommendation was that it might be possible to come back to Red Top later. So I don't know why the PAC recommended that, but maybe
to
go back.
The proposal that was right before the PAC at the time was to investigate whether you could slot Red Top between G minus. So that's what I think they, and they also suggested more work needed to be done. So it's it is something that's appropriate to look at going forward.
Okay, thanks, Greg.
Okay, thanks, yeah. Greg. Thanks for that perspective.
Okay, thanks. That sounds really good. Okay. I think this idea of, you know, trying to identify the efforts that collaboration could build around is a good idea. I guess actually Dimitri said something similar also in his advice to us before he left.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, this idea that you need momentum ahead of SNOMAS, you know, protocolably, you know, things to be going on this time scale, protocolaboration would be a great way to get that momentum.
Well, so I think I saw Albert is here. Oh. Can you give us a report on the cosmic quantum? Are you prepared for that?
really.
Have you guys done anything since 2 weeks ago?
We have done practically anything.
Have you guys met to discuss?
Exchange emails.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so that's okay, so we'll wait to hear next time.
Can I ask a quick question while I'm thinking about it? Now that you guys have these listservs, are you sending a general invite to the laboratory?
Yeah, that was the plan. That one, we would send an email to all scientists plus some other, you know, all engineers groups with all of them together and say, I hope you can get out today, say, sign up to all the ones you registered in. Because before, we've had in previous years where each individual person has emailed, sent things out to all, so each individual group have sent things out to all scientists, and it got a little messy, and they don't like sending out too many emails to that list. So we were going to put all of these there together with a general summary, you know, a little bit more information about the plan. I think we have sent them out the charge, but we'll send that out soon, and then hopefully that means everyone who's interested signs up.
Okay, when do you think you'll send that out? Because it might be more for us to have our introductory meeting after you sent that particular email.
Well, we're going to try and do it today. The main reason just showing the slide is to guilting the people who didn't give us their emails.
I think we can send it out.
Yeah, we don't have them.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, so accelerators?
Sure. So Sasha, Tatiana, and Jonathan and I met last week. We got together and hammered out a plan. We decided that to start, we would split into five mini working groups and put together this list of five working groups. So this would be mini working groups, I should say. SRF, superconducting magnets, beam dynamics, targets, and then support. And we assigned leaders to each of those mini working groups. The plan would be to have each of those mini working groups meet together within the next few weeks, and you know, have relevant people join in these mini work groups. Make sure that the list that is generated is reasonable, and probably the list of these technologies will be drawn from the roadmaps, because GAR has gotten together and put together these workshops in GAR for SRF for. Beam dynamics recently happened, I think, and magnets has the MVP, and so to put together the, you know, already well-aligned path from those roadmaps into this list of enabled technologies. And I think roughly we'd get 20-ish per mini working group, so that's like 100. I don't know if that's the number that you guys want, or...
I mean, if you think that you have enough people to attend these, you know, be part of them. I would worry about scale, but like, you know, if it makes sense to you, if that's the way to track all the technologies. But I guess it's the question of if these 100 working groups are going to all have separate meetings, there'll be one.
They're not 100 working groups, 100 different items.
Okay.
Different, like, you know, enabling technologies.
So do you say that again? 100 what?
So we're supposed to generate a list of technologies, mm-hmm. right? That each should be prioritized. I'm guessing it'll be roughly the same. Like I think that new dynamics will come up in 20. I think that's the right. Maybe 20 is, you know, maybe it's 10 or 15, but it's still.
That is quite a, I mean, it's a lot for us to deal with because we don't know enough to be able to get any information out of them. If you can back, you know, if you can do something to state, these are these 10, these are the ones which we think, you know, will have the high of these couple, the ones which you think is, have the highest impact. And we don't want to, like, it's not, this part of the process is not supposed to be limiting, right?
Yeah.
But it is supposed to make a statement that Fermilab resources, you know, could go into this area and kind of, you know, if you concentrate on this specific thing, you know, with a set of people who could come together and be expert in some area. I guess this, I would worry that with such a large number of things,
you aren't able to define which are the most, you know, relevant efforts or which are the most important. But as I said, we don't want to be limiting, so you can list them all and then pick some, or list them all and say we don't have the information to be able to make any statement about which sort of things will have a bigger impact at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's sort of difficult because there's so many different thrusts within accelerator science that, you know, each of them has things that they're working on and things that, you know, are not necessarily Fermilab priorities, but are sort of
field.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I said we don't want you to.
Should make a list.
Yeah. Okay. So we don't want you to be limiting in any way, right? We don't need you to drop things. We'll tell you this.
So I want to add another working group, maybe. Have you guys been thinking of advanced acceleration technologies? I mean,
I believe in our discussion, advanced accelerators would have fallen into BBIT. So I could be wrong.
We'll just make it part of
BIM. It will be part of what?
BIM
dynamics. BIM dynamics. Well,
it's not large enough for us to have.
We don't have the expertise here, but I think.
We do have expertise.
Well, we have expertise in BIM dynamics. And that's why you want to do that, but I'm sorry to say, in terms of the acceleration technology by itself.
Right, which has an entire roadmap.
Future accelerators, if you're thinking of future accelerators, something that we should
of course
look into.
And so, that brings up another question. So I feel like within the technology working groups, probably not just us, probably many of them, they're going to be enabling technologies that are a little bit on the esoteric side, right? If you say, you know, FCCEE, people know what that is. But, you know, if I say, you know, should we be working on niobium on copper cavities or, you know, 2D quantum qubits or, you know, FPGA-based machine learning, you know, I'm worried that, you know, if for the
could
survey
you
process.
Like some of these.
So you're saying that this is.
I mean, personally, I think it's great because we aren't informed because it's not what we do.
Yeah.
So you saying these are the things that we think are most exciting that you people could potentially should think about when you're just thinking, I want to build this experiment, right? The fact that you list all the things and then stand up and maybe make some attempt to tell us what they are, link to things, or, you know, even make us people aware of them is a positive benefit that you might not get in that situation, right? So a way for you to say, have you paid attention to these things? We think these things are important for the future.
I agree with that. I guess I'm worried about or trying to understand how that links into the polling process. Where
is there like a more general category that's like developing IQ cavities?
I guess I'm trying to understand how to make the polling process useful because if we say develop IQ cavities, people are probably just going to say, yeah, that seems good. Let's do that.
Sounds good. Yeah. I think that this is a good point. We don't have an answer to you now. I don't think we're going to solve the answer now. I think it would be good to go through the last two groups and the last two things. And then we should think about it. And I think this is, as you said, it's going to be important for the technologies and as well computation that not everybody's going to understand. Even if they vaguely understand what it is, they will potentially understand the potential of it and making sure that that is clear in a way, you know.
Or what's realistic, or what we have expertise in.
Yeah. Okay. We should think on this.
Yeah. Okay, but we have to computing.
Right. So Chris and I are leading that working group. So it's actually an interesting time to think about strategy, the computing strategy, because there's a lot of this going on around us. The SCD itself is having strategy sessions, and of course there's the recent white papers from the Software Foundation. We just found the European strategy HEP paper that neither of us has seen yet, so we'll look at that. So I think we're sort of seeing what the timescales are in relation to the All Scientists retreat. I think this retreat will be faster than other efforts, the first division after these things in isolation. So I think what we'll do is and actually, Chris and I are both contributing to the strategy session for these other things as well. But I think maybe we should set up a meeting with the other science frontier groups. You know, it's sort of hard to think about computing that far ahead in the future. We should at least talk to the science groups with anything that they're thinking of that would require special computing R&D that we haven't thought of.
So is that something maybe the working group leaders for the frontier groups can help you guys with? Like maybe if you want to poll the specific groups?
I think we'd have a meeting with the leaders.
Okay, so you would first have a meeting with the leaders and then invite everybody, or it would just be working group leaders meeting?
I think the outcome of that meeting.
So you mentioned that the software management. Have you also been thinking about network bandwidth and data storage? Those are big challenges there, right? So AI coordinated, coordinated network traffic coordination as well. These new ideas on data lakes and so on for data storage, so it would be considering.
Okay. So I guess if there's no pressing questions for computing, we should move on.
So we are going to have a first meeting tomorrow morning, 10, inviting everybody we could reach.
So this is a open.
Okay, yes, it was already subscribed to the email list. Was the general detectives list. Might be missing a few people. and the idea for tomorrow is just to summarize again or review the outcome of the last 2 years, basically what we left off last year, since we haven't met since then, really in that forum, and then go from there. But after that will just be the if there are any updates since last year, any new ideas, major ideas that we should pursue. And then after that, I think our main task is really to meet with the frontier physics groups and see what the different ideas and requirements there are.
That sounds good. I guess I would urge the working group leaders from the frontier groups, if you can make this meeting tomorrow, I think it's really useful.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you want to send that out at least to the SAC working group list, so any of the working group leaders who were able to attend, they probably would have just been on your.
So look, the green ones here on the SAC.
Yeah, so there is an email list which is, I can send it to you, which is SAC working group leaders, which is pretty much everyone.
You did already, yeah, okay.
So that with everybody here on it, so you could send it out to that as well, and that could, you know, anyone who's available here can come to.
I think I'm on this mail, so you only sent it to this via meeting announcement to the strategic planning
detectors.
Yeah. So it didn't go to them.
I didn't send it to
them. Let's send it at least to the working group leaders if you can.
And then they can always send it on as well if they feel.
I mean, generally the idea is that four of us, we are already busy part of the four frontiers. That is representation.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, and then there's Ronda
from Ronda.
Yeah, this is why I said you can't make it.
Yeah, Ronnie said you can't make it. Yeah, so we can have a report from them next time.
Yeah, I guess quantum is sort of special because of the meeting. Oh, actually, I guess, Adam, I had a question about computing. You said that the SCD is doing their own strategizing exercise independently right now. Can you tell us just very briefly about that? Is this something like daily motivated, or it's just an internal thing? Or
it's internal, and there are decisions we need to make more sooner than later about the direction going.
Is the time scale shorter? I guess? Retreat, or is like just for the next couple of years, or it's like a long-term planning thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, it leads into 20, eternal HC, and do.
Okay.
Okay, I think that's all we have on the agenda, unless there's any specific comments or questions.
I guess I would just comment. So I think this is a really good start. We left things open, but if there's, I think working group leaders should try to think about how to discuss cross group as much as possible, especially like between frontier and technology groups. So As you're setting up your meeting structures, like for the next 2 months, make sure you plan for that, right? So don't just hope that people will come to the meeting from the different groups. I think maybe it's a good idea to perhaps have meetings specifically with the working group leaders, or maybe try to plan meetings that are specifically joined, like maybe energy and accelerators. So that's my only
thing. Okay, we plan to invite.
I don't have a permission anymore to access the intro page.
Oh, okay.
I will. Sorry.
We will try and make sure.
Can you read it, or you just can't?
I think no, he means the. Do you mean the one that just specifically belongs to your trainers?
The one that has this doc.
Oh. Okay. There's also an Indigo page which exists for all of the different working groups. I don't think we've gone through and checked who has a permissions for that. There should be enough overlap that people from last year can make sure you have permissions. But if you have issues, let us know. For accessing anything else. We plan to invite you all back again in 2 weeks' time for the working group leaders, so we can keep understanding how the process is going. And we aim to have a SAC meeting, which is about different things, next week, and also with more discussions about overlap with the other planning exercises. Name is temporary. Okay. Thanks, everyone.
We should end the meeting. But if there's things that, you know, will help your planning process, let us know, for example, by coordinating the email list, so if you can think of that, or if you're having specific issues or problems, just let us know. So, all right, thank you, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready?